Good evening. Welcome to Lawton Park Baptist Church for our carol service. Our hearts rejoice to celebrate the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate his coming into the world. He came to seek and to save the lost. And this evening, through our readings and our carols, we want to direct your hearts once more to him who left the realms of glory and came into this sin-cursed world in order to save. I'd like to thank the choir. They've been doing a lot of practicing for Nadine for whipping them into shape. And we're just going to be following the order of service tonight. The folks who are doing the readings know what readings they're doing, so they'll just come up and do it. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing Once in Royal David's City, then I'll pray, and then everything will follow as it is on the order of service.
Once in Royal David's City stood a
yeah.
forgot to say, all the numbers are on the board and they're in your carol book. So let us pray. Our great and gracious God, no language on earth has words sufficient to give voice to our praise when we contemplate all that you've done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. How could we ever thank you enough for sending your own dear Son from heaven to earth in the form of a lowly, common-born human baby to be our Redeemer and substitute? The fullness of his condescension and sacrifice on the cross is beyond our mind's grasp. We praise you for the ineffable wisdom of Christ's incarnation, his deity and humanity, united in an indivisible unity. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is living proof that God is for us, and we know that if our God is for us, no one can prevail against us. Lord, make these truths more precious in our sights as we go through the course of this evening. We'll be singing familiar carols, listening to familiar readings. So Lord, we ask that you would help us to listen to what is read, listen to what is being sung, to think about it, to ask ourselves, how does this apply to me? What's it saying to me? We ask, Lord, that you would grant us the grace to engage with all that's happening this evening. We pray, Father, that you would meet each of us at the point of our need. Bless the choir as they sing. May they do so to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Our first reading, which is our first lesson, tells about Christ's birth and kingdom, as foretold by Isaiah the prophet. So these few verses are found in Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Ransom captive in second reading tonight is also taken from Isaiah. The peace that Christ will bring is foreshown in Isaiah 11, 1 to 4. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He delights is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight or of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And carrying on to verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the Lord, with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. And verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as from the waters covers the seas. Praise the Lord.
In our third reading, Matthew tells us of the birth of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
Reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 16, and the title is very aptly, Glory in the Highest. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Amen.
Our fifth reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, from chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 11. It's given the title, "The Wise Men Are Led by the Star to Jesus." Thus reads God's Word. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Amen.
In the sixth reading, John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you.
It's always a delight to see friends, familiar friends from other churches, to fellowship with you. If this is your first time at Oughton Park Baptist Church, your first time maybe at a choral service, you note that all our readings and chorals have centered upon the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thoughts have been focused upon that miracle of God coming into the world and taking upon himself human nature, minus the sin. Now, Jesus coming into the world was a redemptive act. It was a reclaiming process. It was an act of salvation. And we need to know, saved from what? Reclaimed from what? Redeemed from what? To answer that question, I want to turn your attention to Genesis chapter 3, because understanding Genesis is foundational for approaching all that we have been reading and singing about. If we do not know the reason why it is that Jesus had to come into the world, we cannot adequately appreciate what he accomplished in his coming. Nor can we appreciate the plight that you and I are in without him. Genesis chapter 3. Puts everything we've been singing about, reading about, into perspective. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity," or hostility, or warfare, "between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So firstly, friends, what I want to do is just simply highlight the problem. The opening chapters of Genesis tell us of the world that God made, a perfect world, a world of peace and harmony, a world where nothing spoiled, a world where there is no war, no death, no sorrow, no pain, a world in which everything was perfect. God created Adam and Eve, our first parents. He made man in his own image. So we are, our nearest living relative is not an ape, as the BBC continually tells us. Our nearest living relative is God. We are created in his image. Male and female, he created them. So there's no need for any gender realignment, as we're hearing so much about in today's society, where some men think they're women and some women think they're men, and they need to be transformed in some operations. That's not right. God made male and female. And he gave man dominion over his creation. Give man many blessings and responsibilities, the blessing of fellowship with God, being the representative of God in the world. Man was given scope for creativity and his labor. God blessed man with a companion, the gift of marriage, marriage between a man and a woman. God ordained it. It's not an invention of society. And he told man through this marriage to fill the earth. So through child rearing, the extension of dominion over the world was to be carried out. Friends, what a great blessing God gave to man. Creating this perfect world, planting a garden, placing Adam and Eve in it to cultivate his beautiful world. And you say, well, what's the problem? Well, we just read the problem in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve walked out in God. In other words, man sins, man rebels, man falls. He is now alienated from God. He is hostile towards God. He is dead towards God. He is now under God's just and righteous judgment and condemnation. Because God said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you shall surely die. Satan basically came along and said, you know, God's a liar. If you eat of the tree, God knows you're going to be like him. And he's really trying to hold back. So God's not really a good God. He's not giving you everything. If you eat of the fruit of that tree, you're going to know oh so much more. You're going to be like God. But they eat of the fruit of the tree. They disobeyed God. Therefore they sinned. And as a result of that, the whole race has been plunged into rebellion. That's the problem. Adam and Eve sinned. Secondly, what are the consequences? Well, we're all part of a fallen race. You're part of that fallen race, I'm part of that fallen race. Adam's sin is our sin. Adam's guilt is our guilt. Adam's condemnation is our condemnation. Adam's death is our death. Now, you scream back, that's not fair. Well, whether it's fair or not, it's a fact. And we could mope about what is and what isn't fair instead of dealing with the fact of our condition. We are dead in trespasses and sins. You see, friends, this passage takes us back to the source of every sin and misery that we have ever encountered in this world. All of the sin and misery that surrounds us today, all of man's troubles flow from this point in history. Family strife, frustration with life, the sense of purposelessness, squabbles, sickness, pain, emptiness, lack of fulfillment, cheating, lying, bloodshed, warfare, death, the fear of death. They are all the consequences, friends, of man no longer walking with his Creator God. Man was God's highest creature. And as long as man kept that fellowship with God, everything else in the universe held together. But as soon as man walked out in God, the whole thing implodes, if you like. Now the whole of creation is disorientated, out of joint. And every aspect of life has been affected. That's the consequences of the fall. So what's the solution? Well, we have been singing about the solution tonight. And God gives us the first little glimmer of a solution in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, where he says, I will put enmity, talking to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God is talking there about sending a deliverer. He's talking there about sending a Messiah. And he says it's going to be a male, he. He shall crush you. And right the whole way through Genesis, into the book of Exodus, and into Leviticus, right the whole way through the Old Testament, is an unfolding of this plan. That God is going to send a deliverer. Who is he going to be? When you go on through the book of Genesis, you find that this he is going to come from the line of Abraham. So he's going to come from a specific tribe, the tribe of Israel. And from that specific tribe of Israel, that nation of Israel, sorry, from one of the specific tribes, the tribe of Judah, and from within that tribe, a specific house, the house of David, a specific place of birth, Bethlehem. It's unfolded right the whole way through the Old Testament, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, flowing from this wonderful promise where God has said, yes, Adam and Eve, you've walked out on me, you've broken the relationship, you've spoiled the relationship, you've plunged yourself and your descendants into death, and my judgment is upon them, but here's the good news. I'm not going to wipe you out. I'm going to send a deliverer. I'm going to send a Messiah. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born in Bethlehem, as the promise had said. You see, friends, that's the solution. That's the reason why we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Now, what do? Do you just sit there and say, well, fine? No, I think you got to see that he came for you. He came for me. He came to deliver us from our sins. We have to recognize that we're sinners. We have to recognize that we're alienated from God. We have to realize that we can't sort out our own lives. We have to realize that we can't work our way back into God's favor. Because that's what Adam and Eve tried to do, wasn't it, in the Garden of Eden? As soon as they realize something's wrong, the relationship with God's broken, we know we're naked, what do? They sewed fig leaves together, their own works. They tried to cover themselves. God says it won't work. You can't redeem yourself. You can't work your way back into my favor. And friends, I've said to you time and time again, and some of you have come over many years and have said the same thing to you, look, you will never work your way into God's favor. God on the day of judgment is not going to look at your life and say, well, you weren't a bad person. God looks at your life now, and in the testimony of this word, the testimony of the word of God, this is God's assessment of you. From the top of your head to the sole of your foot, God says there is no soundness in you. That's God's testimony about you. God says your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He says you don't even know your own heart. God says you're so separated from me, you are dead in trespasses and sins. God gives you an honest assessment of your condition. You may not like it. Like when you go into a doctor and he gives you the bad news, it's cancer. You don't like it. You don't want to hear it. But you've got to face up to the fact your condition's serious. And if you want your condition to be cured, this is what's going to happen. And it's the same with sin. God comes as the heavenly doctor, the heavenly physician. He says, your condition is desperate. This is the solution. I've sent my son, Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. Have you lived a perfect life? He's lived that life for you. Have you ever told a lie? Your life's not perfect. Jesus Christ never told a lie in his life. If you ever get angry with anybody unrighteously, unjustly, your life's not perfect. You know it's not perfect. The heavenly doctor is saying, you know it's not perfect. You know you can't sort yourself out. But my son, Jesus Christ, came. He lived that perfect life. And why did he go to the cross? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it was only a perfect sacrifice that could have been offered up in the place of sinners. And Jesus Christ was that perfect sacrifice. The God of all creation came to this earth and he bled and he died on Calvary for you and for me. My friends, this demands a response. You can either accept this or reject it. But God says to you tonight, all who come on to me, I will never, never turn away. That is the reason for the season. That is why we worship. That is why we rejoice in God becoming a man. Our closing hymn is number 16. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. There'll be refreshment served after the service. Our brother, former pastor of Jarrah Baptist in Wigan, Alan White, is going to come and close in prayer. So number 16, Hark, the herald angels sing.
Amen. Amen.